relationships, religion, reality. This is the good news on Glenn Klein Online.
In store, love is the drug, and I need to score. Showing up, hit them run. Boy meets girl, where the beat goes on. Stitched up tight, can't shake free. Love is the drug, got a hook on me. Oh, catch that buzz. Love is the drug I'm thinking of.
Catching that buzz. Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein Online. It is hump day, Wednesday, August 15, 2012, the only midpoint of August 2012 in the history of humanity.
Stuff them up yourself. If you don't love Jesus, go to hell. Ain't no way to cover up your sin.
Yes, there is.
You wolves in sheep's clothing won't get in. If you're free as a breeze or locked up in a cell, if you don't love Jesus, go to hell.
Oh, the great Billy Joe Shaver, one of the great songwriters of this or any generation's. Coming to you live from the Bay of the Holy Spirit, ironically. If you don't love Jesus, go to hell. That's the bottom line. And, okay, we can wrap it up now. Done with our preaching portion of tonight's program. This is Glenn Klein Online. Glad to have you along for the ride. The Billy Joe Shaver, a satirical gospel tune. If you don't love Jesus, go to hell. But that is pretty much, as you well know, beautiful humans, the doctrine and the perspective of evangelicalism and Christianity worldwide. We're going to be talking about a very special component of religion tonight, and that is human sexuality. We're going to be talking about marriage. We're going to be talking about the male and female relationship. We always say at the beginning of the show, relationships, religion, and reality, and here is where those three worlds collide. Actually, they're always colliding. Everything starts with relationships. Everything. What is your relationship with yourself? What is your relationship in your mind vis-a-vis the Creator? What is your relationship in your mind with your spouse or your friends or your lovers or your children? My relationship with the man to my right is one of a man crush, and he knows it, and he loves it, and he can't live without it. Please say hello to our executive producer, call screener, and engineer extraordinaire, Mr. Sean O'Halloran. Seanage.
Hey.
Seanage, are you ready to talk some sex tonight?
Within limits.
Well, sorry. There are no limits on this webcast, which reminds me to give you guys a heads up. It could get pretty detailed and graphic tonight. So call your friends, call your neighbors, call your grandparents, call your children. They're going to want to hear all about how to enjoy this thing called human sexuality, right?
Yes.
You don't have to turn the microphone off every time.
Well, I do.
No, you really don't.
All right.
You see, you didn't turn it off there. You don't have to turn it off. It doesn't sound good. It's not good radio.
It's going to pick up everything I'm doing in the background.
Well, what are you doing that we can't hear?
Well, nothing at the moment, but if I have to get a song ready or answer the phone or go play with the soundboard.
Okay. We'll take our chances. You can turn it off now. Say goodbye to the beautiful humans.
Goodbye.
Call Sean now, you guys. 813-425-5773 all over the world. 813-425-5773 will get you into the studio here. You can call the Glenn Klein online toll-free hotline all over the great continent of North America at 1-800-436-3260. 800-436-3260. Before we move on, I would be remiss not to wish happy birthday to the Grand Poobah himself, Mr. Michael Williams, who will be turning, believe it or not, 60. 60. See, when he was 50-something, 58, 59, I could say it like that. But he's 60 now, as of tomorrow. And a year ago tomorrow, we had the birthday celebration for Michael on this Wednesday night. And we had Richie Mull. Remember Richie Mull saying, "Hey, happy birthday?"
Yeah, I do.
And now Richie's dead.
Yep.
He knows the answers. If there are any answers to know beyond this here life, Richard Mull, Richard John Mull, knows everything, which is pretty cool. A year later. He was doing good a year ago.
Yeah, he was.
Now he's deader than Elvis.
Or the same.
Well, but if Elvis is dead, that's the whole point. That's the whole point of that joke.
Well, how old would Elvis be if he was still alive?
But we're assuming he still might be alive. We know, unfortunately, that our brother Richard is dead. But you know what? We're all going to die, Sean. You are a dead man walking, brother.
I'm going to put my brain in a robot body.
That'd be kind of cool. I thought your brain was in a robot body, my friend. Maybe not so much.
No.
All right. We'll call Sean. He'll get you on the air, and we're going to be talking, taking your questions. We're going to be talking about a marriage tonight. We're going to be talking about sex. We're going to be talking about relationships. And a man that knows a little bit about all those things, as well as religion, the three R's, relationships, religion, and reality. Please welcome online the senior correspondent of this here radio program, Mr. Greg Amberger. Gregory!
Glenn, if you're, I wouldn't say I know a lot about relationships.
I would.
You would?
Okay. Well, I would say you know more than you used to.
Well, that's probably true.
I know.
That is true.
Because you are an old MF-er. There's no doubt about it.
No, I'll tell you something.
You're not 60 yet, but you're pretty old.
No, I'm on the low end of the 50s.
Right. Well, and by the way, we are in the decade of Greg. Thank you for reminding me.
Yes.
Even though you didn't, we are in the midst. This is Michael Williams' 60th birthday tomorrow, in the midst of the decade of Greg.
Yes. And speaking of relationships and robot bodies, there was a real funny radio guy in Cincinnati, Gary Burbank, who did a character called Earl Pitts. And Earl Pitts one day was complaining that we could send a man to the moon, but we couldn't make a perfect robot woman. And he said, the perfect robot woman would have four settings: cooking, cleaning, sex, and off.
we have Earl Pitts down here.
Oh, okay. Well, that's Gary Burbank.
I did not know this. This is fantastic to know this.
Yeah, Gary's sort of retired now from radio, and he moved down to Florida, and he still does some Earl Pitts stuff.
Right, Earl Pitts was Earl Pitts American. You guys have heard him on the radio. Oh, he's hilarious. Yeah. He's absolutely hilarious. You can't appreciate Earl Pitts unless you hear him. But, I mean, it's just, you talk about a tongue-in-cheek guy that figured it out.
Earl Pitts American.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yes.
And he would do Earl Pitts American. So, all right, so we're going to be talking about the relationship between men and women. You guys, here's the thing, is that when you realize that everything is predicated upon relationships, everything is predicated upon relationships, then we have somewhere to go. Because before you understand anything, you know that you have a mom or a dad. You have a relationship. And of course, what happens is that the race known as humanity gets really messed up when they take the relationship with their mom and dad and try to extrapolate that into the relationship with the creator of the universe. It's called religion, folks. It's called Christianity. Christianity is the worst offender, in my humble opinion. having been a former minister, ordained, yes, yes I was, as a nice Jewish boy from the Chicagoland area. I was ordained in this insanity, and I admit it, and I quit it. So it's been pervasive throughout human history. The problem in why Christianity is the worst offender, worse than Judaism, worse than Islam, worse than Buddhism, worse than Confucianism, worse than Hinduism, worse than all the isms, is because they mix grace and law. Grace, all these words mean something. All these words actually mean something, beautiful humans. And the word grace that you see in your Bible literally means unconditional acceptance. Acceptance by who? By God. Without condition. And you hear that. I mean, Greg, I mean, you will hear the word grace. This wasn't true when Mike first started teaching on grace 30 years ago. But today, and throughout the history of the evangelical and Roman Christian church, you will have heard the word grace, but it literally means unconditional acceptance. And they'll talk about that, won't they?
Yes. Mixing and matching, with the grace movement today I predict that this movement is really going to crash and burn, because what they're trying to do is put a kinder, gentler spin on a religion who one of their basic tenets is most of the world's going to end up burning in hell for all eternity.
Right.
You can't put a kinder, gentler spin on that.
Exactly. And interestingly enough, but we're going to have Michael back on the program hopefully soon. He's been doing a lot of research about where the past grace movements fizzled out. And he's got a pretty good gauge on where this whole thing went wrong, over the last 2,000 years or so. Because the word grace or the concept of God's unconditional love has been there since day one in the scriptures and at the cross. But Christianity really effed the thing up. And see, here's why Christianity is the worst offender. Because they've got this concept of this unconditionally loving God. He'll love you no matter what, except, but, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. You can't smoke, chew, or drink. You can't hang around with girls that think. You can't hang around with girls that smoke or drink. Or chew. Sean? You ever been with a woman that's chewed before?
Tobacco?
Yeah, chewed tobacco.
No, not that I know of.
Yeah, it's pretty sexy sometimes, I gotta say.
I don't know about all that.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And you can't do any of that in Christianity, and you certainly must, by all means, accept and receive this unconditional love from God. See, you guys, it's schizophrenic. It is completely unstabilizing to the human soul. That's why Christianity has been the greatest offender to the human race, and why as tough as Judaism was, as tough as Islam was and is on the world, without question, the toughest and the most trouble that has been caused by any religion in the history of humanity has been Christianity, Greg, in my humble opinion.
I'd probably differ with you on that one, but maybe that's just because I'm living in this here particular century. But I'd give Islam the nod on that.
No, it's not even close. It's not even close, dude. I mean, Christianity. Are you kidding me? I mean, let's just take one little example. We're not going to talk about the Spanish Inquisition right now. We're not going to be talking about anything that the Holy Roman Empire did or the Roman Catholic Church did or England did in the name of the Church of England. We're not going to talk about anything of that. Let's just talk about what happened in World War II, that the Führer said that what he was doing, and he quoted scripture doing it, by the way, was he was doing the work of the Lord. And we had, of course, Christian countries, so-called Christian countries, devastating the world in a way that, frankly, only the radical fundamentalist Islamists today could dream of. Case closed. Having said that, It really doesn't make a difference. These are all opinions. What we're going to talk about now, you guys, is not opinion. This has been written down. This is provable, what we're going to talk about. There's been a huge debate in North America, for you guys that are listening around the world, about a so-called biblical or traditional marriage. And it was spawned on by the CEO of the fast food joint called Chick-fil-A, who said that they are going to support, and they do support, traditional or biblical marriage, and therefore are very much vehemently against and are funding at multiple millions of dollars campaigns to try to stop gay and lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people from having the same right to marry and other rights as well, as far as hospital visitation, insurance, and all the stuff that goes on with legal marriage in our societies. They are trying to thwart the progress of that. And so this whole issue, it's always been there, and it's certainly been there recently, this whole issue of biblical marriage becomes much more spotlighted because of this. And, Greg, to what degree does that perspective accurately describe biblical marriage? When they say biblical marriage, they're talking about, of course, one man, one woman, done, under the auspices of the church and Almighty God. How accurate is that describing biblical marriage?
I don't think it is at all. I think one of the things that we try to point out in the groups that I run with is how much Christianity picks and chooses which verses they're going to believe and which ones they're not going to believe. That's hence you have all the different denominations who they pick and choose the ones that make most sense to them. And they've done the same thing with biblical marriage. They've ignored, there are a lot of Bible verses, even in the New Testament, that are just, for lack of a better term, either strange. You could even go as far as to say they're evil. Some of the things that are said about marriage in the Bible,
like what? I mean, what are you thinking
of? Well, for instance, in Deuteronomy, let's see here. There's a verse where if a man, it's in chapter 22, I believe. That if a man lays hold on a woman and goes in into her, basically it's saying if he rapes her.
Right. If a man rapes a woman.
If a man rapes a woman, he has to give her father 50 shekels.
50 shekels.
He has to marry the woman because he has defiled her.
The rapist has to marry the woman.
The rapist has to marry the woman he raped. Hmm. Because she is personal property of her father. So her father, the woman who was raped was not wronged, according to Deuteronomy. Her father was wronged because his property was defiled. Now, and Christians will say, well, that's Old Testament, and we don't go by those laws anymore. But they'll pick out the laws throughout the Old Testament that they like, that we still kind of honor in some way, and they'll say that's the word of God, and we have to do that. But the most important thing to remember about whenever somebody says the word biblical marriage, this is the number one thing you got to remember about marriage at that time in those cultures, and primarily at that time we're talking about the Jewish culture, but the woman had no say-so in the matter at all. So if you want to get down to talk about biblical marriage, then what we need to start doing is allowing parents or fathers to arrange marriages for their daughters.
Yeah.
I found an interesting verse today.
Well, as a father of a daughter yourself, as a father of two daughters myself, I'd be down with that. I'd pick Sean O'Halloran to my immediate right. Who do you want, Sean? Hanna or Gracie?
Sold for 50 shekels.
All right, he's got. All right, he's done.
50. He doesn't have 50 shekels right now. It's,
if 50 shekels now, that was from the time of the old covenant. That would be worth about $50 million at this point.
I'd gladly pay you Tuesday for a wife today.
Thank you, Shunage. All right, Gracie, you got.
Glenn, this is a phenomenal.
Gracie will be 18 in 2 years. You got her, my friend. Just kidding, people. It's a joke. It's a frickin' joke. All right, continue. I'm sorry.
Okay. In Deuteronomy 24, verse 5, it talks about when a young man is married, he's basically given a year off in the Jewish in the rabbinical law. He's given a year off.
A year off from what?
From working, from doing anything. He's given. Let me read you the whole thing here.
All right.
But basically, the funny thing about this verse is that he's supposed to take this year to cheer up his wife, because obviously she's not going to be happy. Like, the chances of her being betrothed to somebody she would actually love are pretty slim, right? If let me read this to him.
Okay.
When a man hath taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year, and shall cheer up his wife, which he hath taken. He needs to cheer her up because she's bummed out about this dude, this old dude she's stuck with. That's biblical marriage.
What do you think they did, I wonder, to cheer her up? I mean, there was no mall to go to.
There was no what?
Mall. There was no mall to take it. the Sinai Town Center. We're going to go to the town center. And, no, I wonder what they did.
But when you hear people talking about biblical marriage, just understand the woman had absolutely no say-so in the matter, period, end of story.
What is the biblical divorce initiated by the woman like?
That was in Corinthians. Where Christianity was starting to spread into different cultures, and the Romans at that time, who were in power, had they had rules governing divorce, which allowed a woman to divorce a man, different things like that. So,
right.
So what Paul's starting to get in touch with here is, as Christianity spreads to new cultures, they've got to deal with those cultures. You know, kind of
right, but there's
way.
Nothing. But there's nothing that people can point to in the old covenant where supposedly marriage was established in the Garden of Eden. There's nothing. In other words, women had no choice. You guys, they had no choice in marriage. They had no choice in divorce. And here's the thing: people want to get okay. Forget all the stuff that God put on Israel and that happened with Israel. Let's just look at the original couple. And that's why homosexuality is not cool, because God initially created a male and a female. That is why. You know, Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, ladies and gentlemen. But the reality is, you guys, is that Eve had no choice either.
Exactly.
She just showed up. By the way, Adam had no choice. Here it is. Here he is, or here she is, Adam, out of your flesh, out of your bone of your bone, the flesh of your flesh. Here she is. Do with her what you will. Eve had no choice. Then, of course, we see that Adam and Eve's procreation produces Cain and Abel. Now, we don't know how more people came from there biblically. But you got to think that Cain and Abel were getting it on with their mom. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that would be the assumption. So at the very least, the inference can be made that incest was happening just outside the Garden of Eden.
Cain and Oedipus?
If you will. Cain and Abel. So you guys want to make a moral argument against homosexuality as opposed to incest and the other stuff that happens in the Old Testament that leads to the Savior of the world, the Messiah of Israel, the Redeemer of the planet? Here, this is awesome what I'm going to say to you guys right now. Yeshua, Jesus Christ himself, defines for us what is Scripture and what its purpose was. The concept of Adam and Eve, the concept of the marriage, the concept of Israel, the concept of the law, the concept of the six, not the Ten Commandments, the 613 commandments that are in the Old Covenant, Yeshua let us in. That the scriptures were the law, the Psalms, and the prophets, and he told the religious leaders they were all about him. Not about us in Australia, in Kenya, in Canada, in the United States, in New Zealand, in England, wherever you're listening from, in Hong Kong, around the world, all over the place. It's not about us, you guys, in the 21st frickin' century. It was a foreshadowing of him. And when you see us as is accurately portrayed, not in the scriptures, but in the New Testament is not scripture, you guys. Not according to Yeshua, not according to Jesus. He defined the scripture as the law, the Psalms, and the prophets. The New Testament writings couldn't be scripture according to Jesus and the disciples because they weren't written yet. That is not hard to understand. They could not have been talking about Holy Writ that wasn't written yet. Now, the New Testament writings could be Holy Scripture, but it's not according to the Scriptures. It's not according to the New Testament. You can share in the tradition of the Holy Roman Catholic Church, you Baptists, you Pentecostals, you, if you want. We on this radio program choose not to. We actually choose to take what we believe is an accurate historical understanding of the Jewish scriptures and the actual Holy Scriptures as to be nothing but about Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. And the New Testament is no more scriptural than what I'm saying right now, unless it is. I'm going to speak a scriptural statement right now. You are holy and perfect and righteous and without sin, cleansed, redeemed, blameless, without spot or wrinkle. Every single person on the face of the planet that has lived or that will ever live and that is living right now is under that condition, imputed by the creator of the universe with those attributes.
And Glenn?
Yes, yes, Greg.
Since you've taken it this direction, that's the beauty of that whole writing about the bride of Christ. The woman, the bride, has no say-so in the matter. That's the beauty of the of that whole analogy.
Right, because the Israeli, if you will, or the scriptural, the Old Testament example of the bride, as Greg so aptly and accurately described, of not just Israel times, but every, around the planet right now, women don't have any rights, don't have any say. But that was a foreshadowing and a type of what we read in the New Testament writings about this bride of the Messiah, the bride of Christ. You guys, you had no choice to be made righteous. You had no choice. Your father paid a price and was rewarded. One could make the argument that the mother of the bridegroom was raped. Listen to what I'm saying right now. The Holy Spirit, according to the New Testament rendition, and by the way, things that were in the Old Testament writings, or what Yeshua defined as the scriptures, foretold this virgin birth. She was imposed upon by God. And then God turns around and rewards himself with an entire forever race of human beings that he was no longer at war with. That's what the gospel means. The gospel means two things: the gospel of grace, unconditional acceptance, the gospel of peace, the gospel, the good news of hostilities that have been ceased, the cessation of hostility. You guys, we're just getting into this now. Feel free to join us. We'd love to hear from you tonight at 800-436-3260. That's a Glenn Klein Online toll-free number, or 813-425-5773. All right, well, tell me, That's Glenn Klein Online number all over the world, 813-425-5773. If it's about 9:30 on the East Coast of the United States on Wednesday night, you're listening live, we'd love to hear from you. We're going to be back with Greg Ambry. Don't go anywhere. Give us a buzz and let us hear from you as we continue right here on the good news on Glenn Klein Online. The good news on Glenn Klein Online is brought to you in part by the guru of gratitude.com. The guru of gratitude.com. Get paid being nice. 813-363-9545. You could also call toll-free at 888-493-7482, 888-493-7482. The guru of gratitude.com. Get paid being nice.
Just see that in Mount Zion, it rules all creation.
Yeah, we're charming.
Welcome back in, ladies and gentlemen. This is the good news on Glenn Klein Online. We've got good news for you guys tonight on so many levels. Please welcome back online a musician extraordinaire in his own right, the senior correspondent of this here radio show, Mr. Greg Amber. Gregory.
Thank you very much, Glenn.
How much did you enjoy that Bob Marley jam?
I like the raga music.
It's the raga. Of course, the Rastafarian religion believe that Haile Selassie, the former emperor of Ethiopia, was a direct descendant of Jesus Christ. We have other whacked out situations like that as well. But they came up with a much better sacrament, I must say, than the Holy Roman Catholic Church and the little wafers and the wine, which is the ganja, the herb. And by the way, you guys, the Rastafarians absolutely have scriptural evidence as why marijuana is a holy sacrament of God. Do they not, Gregory?
I wait anxiously to hear this.
No, I'm not going to talk about it. Anybody can Google it. I'm not going to waste time tonight with it.
Oh, okay.
We talked about marijuana last week. Actually,
drugs are bad, okay?
Actually, last week we talked about hemp, not marijuana specifically,
hemp,
but the commercial application of hemp. You guys can go and listen to every single archive webcast on the archive. Just click on archives, and there they all are. And their subjects, you go back and you can listen to the other programs, like when I interviewed Gary Johnson, the former governor of the great state of New Mexico a couple weeks ago, who is the Libertarian presidential nominee in these here United States. You can hear all the shows. You can hear all the Gospel Revolution shows with Michael L. Williams, the birthday boy, just in a couple of 60 years old. That man, he's going into his seventh decade. That's pretty good. That's where you say, yeah, it's pretty good, Glenn.
Yeah, so should we sing him a birthday song?
I think you should. Please do.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Michael. Happy birthday to you. Hope you get some tonight. Hope you get some tonight. Hope you get some cake and ice cream. Happy birthday to you. Bom, bom.
I always finish the last part with... hope you get some tonight. Hope you get some tonight. Hope you get some cake and ice cream. Hope you get some tonight. Ooh.
Okay. Same thing. Well, that'll work.
It is. Well, either way, it's kind of a happy birthday, isn't it?
It's a... Who doesn't love cake and ice cream?
And who doesn't like getting some? That's what I'm saying.
Cake and ice cream. That's correct.
Getting some cake and ice cream. All right, you guys, we're talking about relationships. I think we've made a very good case at this juncture, literally just in 30 minutes, less than 30 minutes, that biblical marriage does not exist and cannot exist in a civilized society. The number one thing, Greg, as you aptly pointed out in the first half of this webcast, if women are going to have any rights at all, nobody can have a biblical marriage.
Exactly. Another thing that you might find interesting, having to do with women, you know how the churches pick and choose what they can enforce and get away with enforcing without people getting too upset and leaving.
What do you mean exactly?
Well, they pick the things that maybe might help you to live a little more moral life, and they really enforce those, but they don't. For instance, nobody ever talks about 1 Corinthians 11:6, where if a woman comes in with her head and could pray, they're supposed to shave her head.
Wait, you cut out there for a second.
Okay, in 1 Corinthians 11:6, if a woman comes into the congregation and prays with her head uncovered, or without a veil or a covering on her head, they are supposed to shave her head. Now that's in 1 Corinthians, and maybe the Westboro Baptist or somebody might.
Well, you know, the Orthodox, the ultra Orthodox Jewish women do shave their head,
I'm just saying in Christianity, they pick and choose the ones that they're going to.
Well, of course, you guys, you have to understand the whole concept of everything that is in the Old Testament. First of all, the law, the actual law of God, that's not the Ten Commandments. I can't stress that enough. Not Ten Commandments. 613 commandments.
And some of them are pretty downright,
intrusive, shall we say?
Yes.
613 commandments, they were never given to the Gentiles. They were never given to the non-Jewish people, the non-Hebrews, the non-Israelites. They were only given to Israel. And then we know from the understanding and the reporting and the revelation, frankly, of the so-called apostle of grace, Paul, that the law was nailed to the tree. So even for Israel, even if there are if there's anybody out there that is literally in the direct line of the 12 tribes of Israel out there, which there are, pretty much everybody is. Everything's been so mixed together at this point. Even for Israel, the law doesn't exist. You can't sin, you guys. You can't sin as far as the breaking of the law is concerned. And here's the huge deal. The sin nature, so-called, the condition of sin, was also done away with at that sacrifice. You guys, nobody that broke the law was made a sinner by breaking the law. They already were a sinner. You Christians know this. This is in every Bible school across the what Mike used to say. That's what he was talking about, was original sin. The sin nature imputed, not from what you did or did not do. It was from Adam. Adam's nature was imputed to the entire race. And then Yeshua, Paul called so geniusly the last Adam. He called him the last Adam, dude. He understood. He called him the last Adam. Jesus, he called the last Adam. In the same way that sin was imputed to the entire planet, whether they be Jew or Gentile, in Yeshua, in the last Adam, righteousness and redemption and sanctification and wisdom was imputed to the entire planet without our permission, just as Greg said before the break, as the bride of Christ. By the way, you guys, everybody's in the bride of Christ. Osama bin Laden was in the bride of Christ. Adolf Hitler was in the bride of Christ. What's the knucklehead's name in Syria right now? Assad. He was in the bride of Christ. Even Barack Obama and Mitt Romney are in the bride of Christ.
Well, they have to, as long as Mitt has his underwear, he's still in.
That was sarcasm, ladies and gentlemen, which we appreciate.
Sorry.
On this program. No, we love it. We love it, of course. You guys, you don't understand. Please understand. Dude, I was watching something on the Olympics. Oh, Tom Brokaw did a great thing about what England went through during World War II. It was fantastic. A lot of Winston Churchill stuff. I love Winston Churchill. lot of stuff. You know why I love Winston Churchill? Because he was a manic, depressive drunk, and he did great things.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, right here at 19 minutes until 10 o'clock on the East Coast of the United States on this August evening. He did great things. And I saw footage of Hitler, and the concept of the gospel has gotten me, as this Jewish kid, who, of course, always hated Hitler, always hated the Nazis, always hated Nazi Germany, that's been to Israel, that's been to Yad Vashem, that's been to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., that's been to the Holocaust Museum in St. Petersburg, Florida, that has grieved over what happened in Eastern Europe in the 1930s and 40s, I still, of course, am repulsed by what happened during the World War II. I didn't have any hate in my heart when I saw that guy on camera. I didn't. I felt bad for him. I thought, you know what? You are so fucked up in what you're saying and what you did. But I felt bad for the guy. I also, of course, felt bad for all of his victims, too. You guys, they are all, every single one of them, Goebbels and Hitler and Joseph Stalin and Franklin Roosevelt and Winston Churchill and Emperor Hirohito and even Sean O'Halloran, ladies and gentlemen. We are all part of this redemptive work. When I start the show and I say relationships, this is where it's... Dude! We like to talk in the Gospel Revolution about our family. We just lost our dear brother, Richard Mull, our brother. Happy to report that our brother, Gurma Colston, that was diagnosed with cancer a couple of weeks ago, is doing well, is getting healthier and healthier. Adolf Hitler was our brother, Greg.
You know, when I first started dabbling in, before I discovered Mike, and you, I had really started dabbling in ultimate reconciliation or universalism, some of those types of expressions of the gospel.
Right.
And it used to always bother me to whenever you'd start to share that with somebody, you could always count on it happening. They were going to say, "Okay, what about Hitler?
What about Hitler?
What about Hitler?" And at first, it was a thing that it was uncomfortable for me to say, you know, Hitler was redeemed, because I didn't particularly want him to be.
Right, exactly.
My sense of justice is saying,
who would want him to be?
I hope that bastard burns in hell. But as I came to understand the redemptive process that happened on the cross, it doesn't necessarily make me...
Dude, if I would have had a chance to shoot Hitler in the head with a pistol, knowing what I know now, what would
shoot him in the head?
I would blast his temple as close as I could, without a doubt, and then I would wish him well on his way to heaven. You guys, you guys, we're not talking about idiocy here. We're talking about religion, relationships, and reality.
Yeah.
Listen, Yeshua himself said, he said this for a reason, you guys. He said, if you hate in your heart, if you're angry with the brother, you've committed murder. He did not say this to stop you from being angry. And I know this for sure, because he was angry.
Yes.
He showed great, Jesus showed great anger many, many times. He showed great sarcasm. Greg Amberge is in the great line of Jesus Christ himself with great sarcasm tonight. He wasn't talking about it. What he was saying was, it's impossible. Murder does not cause separation from God on this side of the sacrifice. Nothing does. And that's how powerful the sacrifice was. Yes, you know, it could take care of the hatred and the mass murder that has been achieved by, guys like Winston Churchill, guys like Adolf Hitler, guys like Osama bin Laden, guys like Joseph Stalin, guys like Pol Pot, guys like, George W. Bush and Barack Obama. Mass murder these guys have achieved. God is cool with them all. He's not cool with it. He's cool with them because our relationship with God, with each other, isn't based on what we do. If it was, we would be called human doings, but we're not. We're called human beings. And here's what we be, ladies and gentlemen. We be righteous and perfect and holy and sanctified and wise and redeemed and equal. God, we were created equal. This is the genius of the United States of America Declaration of Independence. And that stuff was written by people that were keeping other people enslaved. What?
Yeah.
But the gospel got through. You guys, Paul the Apostle, who wrote instructions to slaves that the slave owners from that point on quoted as justification for slavery, for God's sakes, he's the one. Paul said, there's not male nor female. Oh, we're tying it right back, you guys. There's not male nor female. There's not Jew or Gentile. There's not slave nor free. Everybody is equal in the Mashiach, in the Messiah, in Christ. Not because Christianity says it, not because Islam says it, not because Judaism says it, not because the U.S. of A. says it, because it's been imputed into every single human heart. You guys know this. You know that men and women are equal. You know it. But here's the problem, and this is why things have gotten so messed up, Greg, with men and women and with marriage, is because we're not the same. We are equal, but we're not the same. And I don't give a rip where you go. If you're in any kind of sane location at a church, you ask if men and women are equal today, that pastor, that conservative evangelical pastor that's preaching the word of God will say, of course men and women are equal. But they don't want to treat men and women equal. The one thing that we've learned over time is that the gospel I meditated upon of your perfection and righteousness produces rational thought and logical, vital, mental dispositions. And Greg, if there's anything that is rational and logical here in 2012, in late summer, is that men and women are equal?
Men and women are equal, but different. And it's funny that the guy on the radio in Cincinnati today said that exact same thing in a different context. He was talking about context of some of these, like the way men and women are treated in the law, like with domestic violence and those sorts of things. He said, we're equal, but we're different.
Right, we're not the same. And you guys, here I absolutely, I've got a beautiful ex-wife. I've got two wonderful daughters that we've produced. If there's anything that I believe is that my sons, my daughters, and my ex-wife is equal with me. I absolutely believe that. If I had to say, if somebody put a gun to my head, Greg, and said, which is the superior species, male or female? I would say the female species is superior.
And why would you say that?
And I would say that the female species is more favored by God, and because they possess something that the male species, well, I don't know how much money we would pay for it, Sean. The female species has this thing called the clitoris. You ever heard of it?
Yes, I have.
Seanage? Have you ever heard of this thing?
It might have been in a conversation somewhere along the road.
Okay, it's called a clitoris. And on this woman of the clitoris is nothing but sexual pleasure. It's not just a coincidence that Islam, in their heinous practice called female circumcision, when the girls turn 12 years old in Islamic cultures, obviously fundamentalist, but it's very rampant that you don't hear about it much because of political correctness. They literally remove or at least slice or circumcise the clitoris on their daughters at 12 years old. Sometimes they sew up the vagina to make sure that guarantee that the girls are virginal at marriage. What does that sound like, you guys? Does that sound like, I don't know, something that, forget the grossness and the heinous physical act, but the concept of keeping your women not enjoying sex and being virgins at marriage. Oh, I don't know, maybe true love can wait. Did you ever hear that in Christianity? You guys, women are, to me, they're the crown jewel of creation. But at the very least, Greg, they are our equal partners. The problem happened about 150 years ago. Because here's the thing. As Greg so beautifully demonstrated during the course of this webcast, women were our property. Women were men's property back in the day. It wasn't an issue. They couldn't challenge us, Greg. And if a man beat his wife, it was fine. A man that beat his wife could be considered a good Christian man, couldn't he?
Yes.
A man that kept his wife as property. Now, if a woman lucked out,
you got to keep your pimp hand strong, I think is the way they say that now.
Now that, ladies and gentlemen, another great tradition brought to you by Evangelical Christianity. Say that once again, please, Greg.
You got to keep your pimp hand strong. That was Snoop Dogg that said that.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
You also got to keep baby powder with you because you don't want to hurt your hand.
Sean. He chimes in at just inappropriate moments sometimes. You got what do you have to do? Wait, come back here. What do you have to do?
You slap with you get a big clump of baby powder in your hand and you slapped with that, and then that doesn't hurt your hand.
Okay, because you're more concerned about your hand than the person you're slapping.
Right, you got to keep your pimp hand strong.
Right, that's not right. I'm just saying that right now. That's not right. Here's what's not right, you guys. What is happening now with people trying to maintain the status quo, dude and dudettes? Let me tell you something. Traditional marriage is finished. It's going on right now, just like slavery is going on. Greg, slavery is going on the planet as we speak.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure it is.
No, we know it is all over the planet. Not to the degree that it was. It's certainly not acceptable in Western culture. It's not even acceptable in some other third world cultures anymore. But it's still happening.
Actually, I just read something the other day that said there are more physically more people in slavery around the world today than there ever have been in history.
Wow.
Well, that's partly due to the world's population.
No, I would say it was due strictly to the world's population.
It's a smaller percentage of the population, but there are more people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You guys, slavery is unacceptable. Hear me. Slavery is unacceptable. But so is seeing women as not equals in society. So is thinking that you can hit a woman. Hitting women, it's not cool. It's not cool.
I think Ochocinco learned that this week.
Yes, Chad Ochocinco Johnson. He changed his name back to Chad Johnson. Interesting. He was arrested. The former Cincinnati Bengal. That's why Greg's so interested. Yeah, he hit his wife or fiance.
Yeah, I think he headbutted her. He headbutted her in the hospital.
Yeah, that's not good. You can't do that anymore, you guys. So here's what happens, and we the perfect example. And the perfect way to look at this is what happened in the former Soviet Union when the incredible constraints and restraints and shackles of communism was lifted off of the former Soviet Union and Russia. They went crazy. They went nuts. They're still figuring it out over there. It happened in this country when slavery was lifted after the Civil War. Well, after the women's rights movement came in, and after the sexual revolution came in, people are going crazy. People are still, Greg, trying to live like men and women have lived over the last thousands, whatever it is, of years in 2012, trying to keep each other's genitals shackled from a perspective of Christianity, even to the point, this is how pervasive Christian thought is, that even atheists consider having sex with somebody that you are not particularly committed to when you are committed to somebody else as cheating. They make even atheists make a moral distinction about this. You guys, I'm telling you right now, we've got a lot of time to talk about this. Not tonight, But we have the rest of our lives to talk about it. It's only sex. When I was a kid in seventh grade, we played Spin the Bottle. Did you ever play Spin the Bottle, Gregory?
Yes.
It's fun. You sit around with a bunch of guys and girls. Guy, girl spins the bottle, whatever it ends, and the guy and the girl, it ends up on the tube. The bottle's pointing towards the guy and the girl. They kiss. They make out.
You don't still do that?
I spin a bottle in a different way, I must admit.
Oh, okay.
But I appreciate you asking. No, you guys, today, if an adult in Canada or Australia or England or Kenya was caught playing Spin the Bottle with somebody other than their spouse, if they did have a spouse, it would be considered cheating. Now, let me tell you something. The implication of calling something cheating actually ups the ante. We found this out from the Apostle Paul in the New Testament writings, Michael. Well, not really. It's kind of a compliment, Gregory. old habits die hard, ladies and gentlemen. I can attest to that. Greg, Paul meant something when he said that the law was given to add power to the temptation. He was talking about Israel, of course. God, Israel was already in sin. You guys, Israel was the chosen people to be a chosen people for the rest of history, for the rest of time. We think we're all so special because we're in 2012. There's going to be a 2012. There, I mean, this is going to be, people are going to be looking at back on Israel for tens of millions of years. And they're going to say, eventually, this is part of the revolution. This is part of the gospel revolution. They're going to eventually say, as we're saying it right now, they really effed it up. And Paul said it, said to Craig, I got to go, that Israel was given the law to add power to the temptation, not to give them a blueprint for living, about not to put tab A into slab B, but to actually increase. God wanted them to screw up, didn't they, Greg? I mean, he did, Greg.
Well, yeah, we'll have to get it. I guess we're running out of time here, but yeah, God gave, he made a covenant with man that he knew man couldn't uphold their end of it. And so he came back and made a new covenant and kept both ends of it.
What a nice God he is. I just right now had a major deja vu experience. I swear to God, I'm sitting here in the studios of Glenn Klein Online. I had a major deja vu experience when Greg said that. I don't know why. I don't know why. You guys know what I'm talking about. Here's the good news, you guys. There is a way to approach human sexuality that is not religious, that is not Christian, that is not causing. Here's when Dawn and I went through our divorce, dude. We in Florida, you're supposed to go to a divorce class if you have kids. We got six of them. We show up. There's 50 families represented in this divorce class, right? We were one of two couples out of the 50 families. Everybody else was women. Me, another guy, our soon-to-be former spouses. Here's what we learned in divorce class, ladies and gentlemen, that at least in the great state of Florida, 58% of all marriages, first marriages, end in divorce, 58%. 70% of second marriages end in divorce, and 90% of third marriages end in divorce. Houston, we have a problem. You guys, it don't work. We might have to do this next week. If there's anything that Greg Amberg knows, is that we have not even scratched the surface on this topic. But Greg, let us just say this: there is a way for men and women to understand each other. It's a challenge, especially given the incredibly invasive influence of religion, legalism, guilt, judgment on sexuality, but there is a way to approach this thing that is way healthier than what we're seeing right now.
No doubt.
And?
You seek first to understand and then to be understood.
That is good advice on this particular Wednesday. You guys, I'm begging you, don't get married. Have the ceremony. Change your name if you want to, ladies. Never have sex with another person the rest of your life. have kids together, put each other on each other's insurance policies, know where each other are every waking second of every day. But don't take your love relationship and make it a legally binding business agreement. It don't work. Legalism has been posed. See, freedom through the women's rights movement and the sexual revolution was infused into this legalistic thing, and chaos broke out. And let me say this, that by and large, the problem, frankly, women have changed their minds. Women have repented, if you will. Women have made the adjustment. We men have not. We've got lots to learn yet, and we will. Just stay logged on.
Yes.
Right on, buddy?
That is correct, sir.
All right. Thank you, Gregory.
Thank you, Glenn.
I'm glad you called me Glenn and not Sean or somebody else.
Guru.
Guru. The guru of gratitude.com. All right, buddy. I love you. Thank you so much.
Right,
we'll talk to you
soon.
Thanks for your time. There
right,
goes bye. Greg Angberge. Good stuff, you guys. We're just getting started. You can call me, you guys, at 813-363-9545 during the week if you want to talk about this. Email. Please recommend the radio show and the website. The newsletter can be found at glennkleinonline.com. You just subscribe in the upper left-hand corner. You listen to the archives. Just click on archives and have fun with it. We got to continue more about this. This is so important. I love you people so much. Sean, I love you too. Thank you so very much for everything that you do. Go ahead.
I'm just going to say you're welcome.
No, that's where you say I love you too, Glennie.
Yeah, that too.
You can't do it, can you? Say I love you too, Glennie.
I'll take a pass.
You can't do it. You can't. Three and a half. You can't do that? I'm going to punch this mother in the face right now. I love you, Sean. I love you. I love you, Sean. Mwah, mwah, mwah. I love you, Sean.
Okay.
See, God's punishing you. Not really. See, I listen, I know. It's hard to deal with love sometimes. Until next time, this would be Glenn Klein Online saying shalom, everybody.